Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
As you know, at least 208 women were given an incorrect all clear after a smear test for cervical cancer. The government is to launch an inquiry into how this could have happened, while a helpline has been contacted so far by 8,000 people. All across the country, women are wondering if they should get their smear test done again, and if they do, can they trust the results? So we sent Niamh Hassell off to see, could she get some of the answers to the many, many questions Irish women have today? Niamh, where did you go?
So, Sean, I went to the Dublin Well Women's Centre on Liffey Street. I was actually due to go for an appointment there as it was, so we just thought it would be an interesting way to see what was actually happening at the moment. While I was there, I spoke with Dr. Shirley McQuaid. She was the medical director of the Dublin Well Women's Centre, and I asked about the cervical screening programme, first of all, that the centre provides.
Cervical checks started in the autumn of 2008 and really got going in 2009. And so since then we've been taking about 7,000 smear tests a year, something like that. Actually, the first year, 2009, we took 9,500 smear tests, but then it kind of calmed down after that. We also take private smear tests for women who either can't wait to have a smear test done, say they're having fertility investigations and they want a quick turnaround. Private smear tests typically would take about a 10-day turnaround for results. Or they've had smear tests in the screening programme before and they want to have smear tests are done every 3 to 5 years in the screening programme, depending on age. But some people may want to have a test in between times just for their own peace of mind. So on a typical week, we would have perhaps about 150 smear tests, something like that. The estimate, I suppose, over the next 2 or 3 weeks is going to be more like 250 or thereabouts a week.
Yeah, for fairly obvious reasons, I would have thought. So presumably as well, I mean, a lot of information has come out about what happens afterwards, because the woman goes in, gets the smear test done, but what happens to that sample that's taken? Did you ask her about that?
Yeah, no, we spoke kind of overall about what happens and why the screening takes place and kind of the process of which it's done, and it's complicated enough, you know, for women. And the process of screening is that you go once every 3 years. So we spoke about the overall process of screening, and this is what she had to say.
The smear programme starts at age 25 and goes to age 60, and it is going to extend to age 65, I think, soon. But women in the age group currently 25 to 60 have smear tests done every 3 years up to the age of 44. And then from 45 to 60, it's every 5 years. And the thinking behind that is that the interval of 3 yearly smear tests should pick up any significant changes that are going on. So cell changes that are happening, we take a sample from the cervix, just a superficial sample from the cervix, which should pick up cell changes if they're happening. So that goes to a laboratory and they look at it down a microscope and can detect any changes that might be there.
If there are changes, what's the process then?
Well, there are several grades of change, going from mild to moderate to severe change. And so in mild change, if someone finds that, if we get mild changes on a smear test, currently what's happening, and it's new, over the last year and a half, 2 years, they then test it for HPV, human papillomavirus. There are lots of different types of human papillomavirus. Some of them are high risk, which means that cell changes could progress. Some of them are low risk, which means that they're not going to progress. So this as an abnormal smear test is checked in two ways. It's checked for cell changes and then it's checked for the virus that causes it. And so if it's low risk virus that is causing a minor abnormality, that's it. That is going to go back to normal by itself, and those women continue on the 3 year system. If the cell changes are minor but are caused by a high risk HPV, then we refer them to the next stage, which is a colposcopy unit in a hospital. A colposcope is a microscope which is specifically used to look at the cervix. And so when we take a smear test, we take a broad sweep of the whole cervix. So it's not known just exactly how much that cell change is happening. So when someone looks with a colposcope, a microscope, they can then identify the areas of the cervix that are involved and may or may not take biopsies depending on the severity of the changes. So the colposcopy is more accurate than a smear test and can result in biopsies and then possible future treatment if needed. But oftentimes in colposcopy, they are minor changes, which they simply monitor and get the lady to come back, the woman to come back maybe 6 months later. And often those changes have reverted to normal. So just going for a colposcopy does not mean that you will need to have a treatment. It's simply a more in-depth look at the cervix.
Right, okay. So they do look for a lot of information there, really.
In
their instance then, because I suppose part of the problem here is we've learned that these samples sometimes are sent out of the country, what happens in the well woman?
So, if you're in your GP, they take the samples. And I asked Shirley all about kind of what happens individually, because I think when you're listening to Ciara Kelly yesterday and women ringing in, a lot of people were kind of unclear about what actually happens after you have your appointment. So you have your smear test, but what happens to those individual samples then? So that's what we spoke about next.
We use liquid-based cytology, which means the sample goes into a liquid pot. Then we label it, we get you to sign a form with all your details on it, send it to the laboratory. What we do is we take samples all week, and on Monday mornings then we send all of our samples together off to the laboratory, and the laboratory we use is the Coombe.
How long before the test results then come back from the laboratory?
So the laboratory will send us back a result, and will also send a result to the cervical check programme in Limerick. And we get the result back typically in 3 to 4 weeks. It can vary a little bit. Sometimes it stretches out to 5 weeks. The patient gets the result back usually a few days after we get the result. So you're talking about 4 to 6 weeks. And the letter that the patient gets is a letter from cervical check, confirming that the smear test has been taken and that the test is normal, usually. At least 85% of smear tests that we take are normal. But if it's not normal, the patient is asked to contact the clinic, and then we explain the result and we move on from there.
And I suppose the next bit is what we could call immersive reporting, to the extent that you were there to get a smear test anyway. And I suppose for men, they don't actually know what a smear test involves, and
no,
it's very invasive and it's not pleasant, especially if at the end of that process you're finding out you might be getting incorrect information.
Yeah, and it is an invasive process. And, you know, when this emerged this week with the story, I think there was a lot of men who didn't really know about the process, and even in our own office that I didn't realise that women had to go through this. And it's a routine checkup for women, and it's very important that women get this done. And that was the one thing that Vicky Phelan had said after all of this, and she's so incredibly brave that she was urging women to still go for their smear tests, because they do catch a range of discrepancies in cancer change or cell change. And, you know, to catch this early is extremely vital. So, yes, we did go. I did go in a fact-finding mission, but I also did have my smear test done, and we recorded it because I thought it was important to, I suppose, put it out there in a certain sense of the word, to, you know, show people what actually happens when you're in there.
So you can tell me at any stage if it feels uncomfortable. We just stop.
Yeah. Have the instruments that you use changed much over the years?
Well, what we use is disposable instruments. So they're all just obviously single use, and that's it. Years ago, there were less disposable instruments, so we would have used more metal speculums, but the ones we use now are usually plastic.
Okay.
So I'm just going to get the light into position here, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Okay. So the good thing is it's over in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
So let's just see how you go.
Okay.
So what you're going to notice first is this will feel a bit cold.
Okay.
Are you still right?
Yeah, no brand.
So what I'm doing now is just checking to see if I can get your cervix into view. So I've put the speculum in.
Okay.
Cervix looks nice and normal, and it's right in the middle of the view here.
Okay.
I'm taking the sample now, which is using a little small brush.
Okay.
And we're nearly done.
Oh, it's kind of a weird scraping thing, isn't it?
It is a strange, strange thing. So
yeah,
just taking the speculum away now.
Yeah.
And it's all over.
Oh, that's it.
Get yourself together there. We'll get you to sign a form, and that's it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I know it's probably not as bad as experiencing it, but listening to it back again.
No, it's really not that bad. It's just, it's uncomfortable. It's
but you can hear it in your voice that it's not fun.
Look, it's nerve-wracking. You don't really like kind of people fiddling around. you know, in a certain spot in your body, and that's fair enough. But like, I mean, for me, it just kind of drew back to when I had to get my waters broken when I was giving birth. You know, there's always unpleasant memories with stuff like that, but it is vital that it gets done, and it's so, so quick as well. It's over in a flash, you know. Just what you'd hope is then that the sample gets sent off and gets treated the right way, and you get the results that you're hoping for. If you're not getting the results that you're hoping for, you would hope that you're told in enough time that you can receive treatment and go through that process as well. But I mean, you do have to get it done. It's just one of those things in life.
Now, I mean, she referred to it, Shirley McCrady referred to it herself, that they're getting far more inquiries now, and presumably women are going to be turning up with a lot more questions.
Exactly. And I suppose there's been so much information that's been put out there. And even Simon Harris was saying on the news the other night that he was frustrated with the drip feeding of information. So I think women individually now are taking it to call themselves, to ring their own GPs, to ring the well woman. So I asked Shirley about the kinds of questions that patients have been asking about their own tests and samples.
Kinds of queries coming in where women are asking us where their samples are going to. The answer is we've been using the Coombs since 2014. Before that, we were using Quest, which was the Teterboro lab in New Jersey. So from the beginning of the program until 2014, it was New Jersey, and then since then they've been going to the Coombs.
Can I ask why the change from the lab in New Jersey to the Coombs for yourselves?
Well, I would always have liked to continue with Irish laboratories when the screening program started, but there wasn't capacity in Irish laboratories to deal with that many samples. And at the time when the program started, it was envisaged that they would gear up Irish laboratories, and I requested right from the start that once an Irish laboratory was up and running, that we would get our samples transferred to there. And so when it appeared in 2014 that the Coombs was able to deal with the level of samples that we had, we asked again, and happily they got us moved to the Coombs.
Can you tell us a little bit about the experience of using an American laboratory? Were there any kind of admin kind of problems or anything like that?
Certainly, at the beginning there were quite a number of problems because we had a different type of grading system here to what was used in the US. It's an international grading system in the US as well. It's just different to what we were used to. So we had to run two systems in tandem for a while because we were getting results back from the Royal College of Surgeons lab using one type of CIN grading, and we were also getting samples back from the US lab using a different grading. So that caused a little bit of consternation at the beginning. But, you know, we do so many samples, it bedded down pretty quickly. The main problem, I think, is really communication, because the laboratory in the US is going to be 5 hours at least behind us. And so if we had queries in relation to recommendations that they were making on samples, which, you know, inevitably happens in all systems, or medical histories were wrong, or, you know, just the general admin things that we need to sort of monitor all the time. The difficulty was that we would telephone them at 10 o'clock in the morning and they weren't up. And by the time they had got round to looking at what our query was, we were almost ready to go home. So that was the difficulty. So the Coombs is on the same time zone, so that's always nice.
Is there any way for women all around the country, can they ask where their sample is being sent to?
Yes, I think the helpline, cervical check helpline, has access to that information. It is also available to their GP, because we do get the test result back, and the name of the laboratory is flagged on the top of the result. But I'm aware, just the same as what's happening with us, that GPs are getting a lot of telephone calls. So if possible, it would be better that people use the cervical check helpline.
There you go. Now, and presumably they're getting besieged with people ringing them up and knocking on the door and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I asked her then next, was about the increase in calls that the Well Woman Centre themselves had been receiving.
It's quite difficult to give you a definite number on telephone calls because we don't have a monitoring system as to the numbers. But through our website, women can go online and book a smear test. And the numbers there have tripled since last week. So in the first 3 days of last week, we had 111 women book in for smear tests. And the first 3 days of this week, it's 330-something.
When they come in to the Well Woman Centre, what are they worried about mostly?
Well, women are worried that they've had smear tests done, they've been given the all clear, but how accurate is the test? And the problem is, it's hard to reassure people 100% because the test isn't 100%. On the old system, when we were using the College of Surgeons years ago, they had a comment on the bottom saying that there was a 10% inaccuracy rate inherent in the smear test process. And so the safest way to use the screening program is to have regular smear tests every 3 years. And therefore, if you're getting repeat tests that are all saying they're negative, that they're normal, that's the best guarantee you have that your smear tests are normal and your cervix is normal.
There you go. Now, and presumably, you know, despite everything that's happened, their advice would still be you still have to go and get the test.
Absolutely. No, you still have to go and get it. And, you know, there's procedures now being put in place that they hadn't had before, that they're looking into why this happened. And like, I think it's rocked the country, and there's so many out there that are worried about themselves, worried about their families. What I did was, finally, I asked Dr. McQuaid about her own advice. What would it be for women who would be worried about their own situations?
I think if somebody is worried, firstly, if someone has symptoms, if they have bleeding in between periods, bleeding after intercourse, pain, irregular discharge, I think that they should go along and talk to the GP. The GP can either just examine them and take maybe swab tests for infection, or they can take a smear test, which will be covered by the screening programme. But I think, so symptomatic women should not ignore symptoms, no matter what their previous smear history is. But for women who don't have any symptoms, don't have any pain, nothing is different, and they've had several smear tests in the programme, I think those women should be reassured that they should be fine. If someone has had just maybe one or two smear tests, and they are concerned, the smear programme will do those extra tests. The problem is going to be that the laboratories are going to be quite overwhelmed, I would think, if everyone comes in and has smear tests done. The services at our level taking the smear test is going to be, we have already booked out for 2 weeks or so, so it's going to be difficult for us and for the laboratories to keep up with the testing process and guarantee a turnaround time of 4 to 6 weeks. So the turnaround time is going to stretch out, both for private smear tests and for public ones, because the staff are the same staff that were there last week and they'll be there next week.
Now, if you want to ring up, get in contact with somebody, the Cervical Check free phone line helpline is 1800 454555, 1800 454555. Obviously, that's free, or you can go on to cervicalcheck.ie. Niamh, thanks very much for coming into us. Well done.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.